Is the United States inclined to take a more aggressive approach to aiding Syrian rebels? There are signs in Congress that some lawmakers are willing to pick up the policy and to move much closer to a closer relationship with the Syrian opposition. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, joins us from D.C. Todd, what are you seeing? What are you hearing?
John, the White House has been leaning for weeks towards a more aggressive posture in Syria. And of course, we saw this play out with the announcement from the White House that they had some evidence, at least, that the president's red line on chemical weapons had been crossed. Now, as we all know, they haven't put together any clear evidence of the president's red line that sarin gas was indeed launched at rebels by the Assad regime. But here on Capitol Hill, there are moves to give the White House the authorization it may be looking for to arm Syrian rebels. Now, Senator Bob Menendez is from New Jersey. He's a Democrat. He is chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee now that John Kerry is Secretary of State. I spoke to him yesterday, John, about why he has a bill to allow the president, in fact, encourage the president to arm the Syrian rebels, at least some factions. Listen.
Over 70,000 lives lost, millions displaced, and a continuing bloody battle. And so if we want Assad ultimately to fall and leave, the only way to do that is to change the tipping point. And right now you can't do that when the rebels are outgunned.
John, Menendez wants to change the tipping point in the war in Syria, as he said, but you're asking the question in your own head right now. Not all of the rebel factions are our friends. Some of them are aligned with Islamic extremists, we believe. Some of them may be al-Qaeda influenced. Some of them may be influenced by other groups that do not further U.S. or certainly Israeli interests. What happens if we arm them? We've seen this movie before in places like Afghanistan. Listen to Menendez.
I'm talking about vetted groups, groups that share our values, groups that we have a clear sense through both our military and our intelligence that, in fact, would have the fighting capacity and, if they succeeded, would ultimately establish a government that was all-inclusive of Syrian society and that would have the core democratic values we'd want to see in a future Syria.
Now, excuse me, but Senator Menendez there sounds a little delirious. I mean, vetted groups, okay, how are you going to vet them? Number two, a vetted group can sell a weapon to an unvetted group, and then the weapon is in the hands of al-Qaeda.
All unanswered questions. And I asked some of these questions both to Menendez and to senior staff here in the Senate. First of all, who does the vetting? Congress wouldn't really come up with rules for that. That would be up to the intelligence services in the White House to decide which groups are our friends. Now, there are some international leaders emerging in Syria who countries like the UK and Turkey and Bahrain and to an increasing extent the United States feel like may have sort of a consensus leadership that we may be able to arm. How do we know that they're not passing dangerous weapons, anti-tank, anti-aircraft onto enemies of the United States or potential future enemies? Good question. Do we put CIA on the ground covertly to stay with those weapons, make sure they're inventoried and being used as they're supposed to be used against the Assad forces? Will the Jordanians perhaps Sherpa those weapons or maybe agents from Bahrain or other friendly countries? All of those things are possibilities, probably policy that won't be negotiated from here in Congress, but from the White House.
But it doesn't sound like Senator Menendez, who is talking a lot like John McCain, his Republican colleague, on this question of Syria. It doesn't sound like there's a lot of conditions set on this authorization. Is this like the authorization for force in Iraq and Afghanistan? Is this the same sort of strategy that triggered a much more aggressive policy by the Bush administration in Iraq and Afghanistan?
Well, it's far short of that, John. You're right to ask the question because that's a question that a lot of people here ask. They see whiffs of Iraq, weapons of mass destruction. Where's the proof? All of those questions are swirling around this. Let's draw our own bright line that Menendez is talking about sending American weapons to certain factions of the Syrian resistance, not talking about American boots on the ground, the authorization of use of force in 2003 that got us into Iraq was, of course, thousands of American boots on the ground in Iraq. They say that this is far different. What the rebel forces need against Assad, where they're outgunned, not AK-47s and M-16s. They need anti-tank artillery. They need anti-aircraft artillery. That's where they're being outgunned. If there's going to ever be a no-fly zone, which is a maybe, there has to be anti-aircraft, and that's what Menendez is saying here.
And there's still the question of airstrikes in a no-fly zone. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Thanks so much, Todd.
Pleasure.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.